glad that God's still tearing down things in this world. Tears down the lies, the walls of lies. And thank God for that. It's good to be saved. And I think I preached a message on that a couple of weeks ago. I'm glad I'm saved. And that's a, well, you say that, and you meditate just on that. I'm going to heaven. What a blessing that is. A blessing it is. We said already we have not made any arrangements for this afternoon. Anyone else have a song on your heart? Maybe a testimony? All right, we're going to turn a preacher loose. Y'all don't start stampeding the stage, okay? We knew he had the message. We're just waiting on him to move.
Turn with me, if you would, to the book of John. Familiar scripture, chapter 3, verse 16. Everybody knows it. But throughout this day, I just couldn't get it off my mind. And I came in, I really wanted to hear somebody preach. And this service, I really just wanted to soak it up. And I really just wanted to be in the service. But whether I'm up here, whether I'm out there, I'm still in the service. And, you know, I kind of was just told God, okay, if this is what you want, okay. And then it just wouldn't just leave me. And I was trying to give somebody else an opportunity, but God didn't want it to be that way. So you just bear with me. I don't want to do anything out of the will of God. I love him too much to do that to him. So just pray with me if you would. John 3:16. You can stand if you feel like it. Familiar enough, you could probably recite it with me if you wanted to, but this is just where God's really put, he's just really beat it into my heart today. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." And you can be seated. And we thank you for standing with us. And I probably won't be in front of you very long. No, but I just want to do what God had me do, and I'll step down. I don't ever want to do anything more. But I began to think about how this day, just how it's been going, and the songs that were sang this afternoon, and a lot of, I heard grace so many times that it was kind of just God just bumping me on the head. Come on, stupid, get with it. Kind of that's how it felt to me. But I just thought about just this verse of scripture here, John 3:16. If you're in church any amount of time, maybe even once, you probably have heard this verse, whether it's alluded to or preached about. It's one of the most important verses in the Bible, I believe. They're all important, but it's one of the bigger ones, if you'll have it that way. But I began to think about that word grace, and I began to think about what that meant to me. And as the songs were being sung, God just came and he just kind of blessed me a little bit. Just to prove how perfect he is, about how the grace that we have through his Son that we didn't deserve. And now I know some of you probably know this, some of you may not. But I looked up the definition of grace at one point or another separate time, and it's the free or unmerited favor by an outside party or somebody that you owe something to, Brother Chris. If you owe them something, they have a merit that they would give you. And if it's free and unmerited, that means whatever is wrong, it's just null and void. And I began to think about how the Bible talks about Jesus here himself was saying, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe upon him would not perish but have everlasting life." And I began to think about how this word grace meant to me, that John 3:16, how he came into the world. He didn't have to come here. He didn't need to come here. He was already in heaven. He was already doing what he'd been doing from the beginning of time. And I began to think about how God and just his perfectness, how when he began to form all the things, Brother Kevin, how when he began to form the firmament and he began to form the earth and he separated the water from the land,
and he gave light, and then he created everything, and then he got to man eventually. And I began to think about how, even though he knew that we were going to betray him, even though he knew that we were going to fail, even though he knew, that we were going to falter, and that we were going to be dead, we were going to be downtrodden, and that we were going to always try to run away from him. I don't know if you're anything like me or not, but when I get in my flesh, Brother Victor, I don't even want a part of any of it. I'll tell you that much. But when the man that's on the inside that's greater than the man that's on the outside gets a hold, that's when God can really bless. That's when God can really come in. And that's when God can really begin to bless. Because I'll tell you this much. I've walked in those doors and doors of other churches, and I've not let the inner man take part, and I've walked out the same. But thanks be to God. God didn't intend for it to be that way. He gave grace and love and mercy, and his son died. Bled. But he didn't just stay dead. There's a song that they sing. He didn't stay dead, and he won't stay gone. Aren't you glad today that there is grace for you, and there's grace for me, and it's free and unmerited favor. And thanks be to God, he didn't just come for one, he came for all today. He didn't just come for Dylan Perry. If he just came, I don't believe I would have been worthy enough if he just come for me. But thanks be to God, it said that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. You know what that means? That which was lost. Anybody that would come to the realization that without God they're nothing, he came for you today. I don't know who you are or where you stand with God, and I don't need to. But I will tell you this, that if you are ever going to taste what we've tasted today, if you're ever going to get a piece of God, it's going to be on your knees. But I'll say it like this. You don't have to come up to this altar. You can deal your seed. You can drop it down on that aisleway. I've been in church with people who have said that they have found grace on the side of 275. My brother, if you listen to anything he ever says, almost the first thing that comes out of his mouth is how God met him in a pink Chevy Beretta. And thanks be to God, that's my brother's story. But mine is mine, and yours is yours. When you came in contact with grace, and God came for you, aren't you glad today that it doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, where you've been? God came, or Jesus came, just for you today. If you're already saved, he came for you anyway. Thanks be to God. I don't know who you were, where you were. But I, at the age of 13 years old, I didn't find God, Brother Victor. He found me, and he found me wanting. And he showed me where I was. He showed me who I was. And he told me that without him, I would perish. But thanks be to God, he told me about the blood that was shed by his darling son so that I could find pardon. That's what grace is. It's pardon. It's nothing more than that. It's so much more, but it's nothing more. Aren't you glad today that when you dipped into it and when you found what you'd been searching for? That's why the Bible says that it's faith is like a grain of mustard seed. Because it starts off small, just as simple as saying, God, I believe. But it turns into so much more. I don't know if you know this or not. Maybe you do. But the mustard seed starts out small enough, Brother Kevin, that if you've got the right skin tone, you'd probably lose it in your hand. But it grows like 1,000 times.
times its size by the time it reaches maturity. Aren't you glad today that we don't have a small God? We don't have a small grace. And we don't have a small blood that was shed for our sin. Oh, and it's not a little G thing. It's a big G. He's a big God. He's a great God. And he's a merciful God. And if you're here without him today, he came for you. That's what it's saying there. That's what he's trying to tell us there. Oh, that no matter who you are, he came. Jesus came. And maybe I need to touch on this a little. I don't know. And most of us here probably know this story. Oh, but there, oh, one time or another was a little baby. Oh, that was born into this world. And the Bible said, oh, that he was all God, and yet he was all man. And he was born in a manger. Oh, and there wasn't even room enough for him to find a place in a hotel room. Oh, that's not where it ended. And that's not where the story stops. Oh, the Bible says that same baby lived 33 and a third years. Oh, and he lived a sinless, spotless, blameless. He was tempted by the devil and overcame him. He was tempted by the flesh and overcame it. And no doubt, oh, there was plenty of times in his life where he could have gave up and gone home and been right in doing so. Oh, but thanks be to God, he went through with God's plan so that we could be here today and you can hear about the grace that he died for. Oh, it didn't cost me a thing, Brother Larry, but it got... Oh, it cost God his only son. It cost God. The Bible says that it was so grueling that even God himself, Brother Kevin, turned his back. Oh, but he knew. Oh, that there was something that was to come. Oh, he knew something good was to come. He knew something better for you and me would come from the Son shedding his blood today. Hey, I don't know if you know this or not. Oh, but back in the Bible, back in the old Bible, they would come together once a year, and the high priest would give a sacrifice. Oh, but the stipulations were so stringent inside of that. He couldn't be older than a year. He couldn't have a spot. There couldn't be a speck in his eye. There couldn't be a dot on his fur or his skin. Oh, and he had to be perfect. Oh, but that only held out for 1 year. Oh, but lo and behold, came the perfect lamb. That was, oh, and the Bible says, Sister Sarah, that he was as a lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. Aren't you glad today? Oh, that there was a search that went out through heaven, and they found somebody willing and worthy to take your place. Oh, I don't know if you know this or not. I don't know why that keeps coming out of my mouth. Oh, but I want you to understand that back in the old Bible time, when you were on jury, when you were being convicted of something, there was a lot of societies, Brother Victor, that would roll out a black or a white stone. And if you were guilty, the black stone stood for death. Oh, but if you were proven innocent, or if somebody stepped and gave you pardon, you were given the white stone. Oh, but it didn't just stop in the courtroom. You carried that white stone everywhere. It meant you were free. It meant you had citizenship. It meant you had pardon. And it meant you it meant that you could go every which way you wanted to. And you had your freedom. Aren't you glad today? Oh, that when judge and jury came and they were against you, Jesus rolled out a white stone and he said, I've died for him. He's pardoned. Just take it. Oh, thanks be to God. If you picked up that white stone is yours. Hey, you know what the cool thing about those white stones are, Larry? They inscribed your name in it. So is your white stone. Oh, that ought to make somebody jump out of their skin today. Oh, thanks be to God. That grace that we've been talking about, brother. Oh, Harvey's got his own white stone. Kevin's got his. I've got mine. You got yours. Oh, and thanks be to God. There ain't nothing anybody can do about it. Hey. Try as they might, they may cut my fingers off and pry that Bible out of my hands. They may pull out my tongue. They may gouge out my eyes. They may break my legs where I can't walk anymore. Oh, but if I can roll around on the floor, I'm going to do it. Because I just want to be in the presence of God today and thank Him for the grace that He put in my heart. Hey, you know, there's a... Now, Chris, there's another spot in the Bible where it talks about how when the change takes place, that God pulls out that old stony heart and he puts in a heart of flesh. You know what that means? He did heart surgery without ever having to cut you open, put you under. It took a split second. Oh, and thanks be to God, there wasn't no recovery time. You are living in your new life from that breath on. Aren't you glad today that when God saves, He does it the right way? Hey. And again, back to the sacrifice. Oh, we got a little bit of ways. That's okay. Oh, but again, back to that. Oh, the sacrifice. Speaking in the terms of the high priest in the old Bible. If it was taken and God didn't accept it, that man died. Oh, and it wasn't good anymore. Oh, but thanks be to God. Oh, there was one that died. Oh, that he didn't stop in our high priest. He became our high priest. Oh, and his name is Jesus. Oh, and he died so that you can live. Thanks be to God above. If you'll hold on to grace, it'll grab on to you today. Hey, grace just ain't for the lost people. Grace is every day for you and I. If you're here and you're saved, I need grace every day just to make it through my mundane life. Oh, do you realize that if God decided to pull away from me, my body would just drop? I can't breathe on my own. I can't think on my own. I can't do things on my own. Oh, it's only because of the precious power of God that I can live and move and have my being today. Hey, you know what it all comes back to? Comes back to love. Yeah. It's like the third word in the scriptures that we read. For God so loved the world. You know what that means? Brother Harvey, that means He ain't partial. He'll save the drunkest of the drunk. He'll save the biggest murderer there ever is. And He'll save the most innocent little baby. When they come to, hey, that's not an age. Or it's not an age of accountability or anything like that. You know what it is? It's when your mind realizes that's not going to figure anything out. And your heart takes over. And your heart leaps out on faith. And it grabs a hold of God. And God grabs a hold of it. And He changes your life. Thanks be to God. It don't matter how old you are. It just matters that you're ready to be saved. You know, Harvey, I tried to get saved for 3 whole years. God called me when I was 10 years old the first time. And from then on, I was trying. Oh, Brother Clarence, I would go to church and pretend, man, I could have won an Emmy. I was so good. Oh, but That's not what God needed, Maggie. God needed my heart, not my mind. He wanted the inner man, not the outer man. The outer man's dust. It's going to go back to the dirt. It don't mean nothing. Oh, but the inner man, oh, that God placed in me, oh, that eventually is going to go back. That's what cares. That's what matters. Oh, and if you leave this world without God in your heart, you'll, I hate to say this, but I got to, you'll lift your eyes in hell today. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You remember the story that rich man said that there's a fellow outside his gate that he wouldn't even give crumbs to. They died the same night. Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom. Lazarus was comforted. But the Bible says the rich man lift. It's not L-I-F-T-E-D. That means you can put your eyes down. Lift. Permanent. Present tense. It's never going to change. He's continuously lifting his eyes to what he missed. Don't let that be you, friend. Don't let your story end with, he lift his eyes. You know what you should let your story end up being? He was lifted up in the number. He was lifted up. He got to go home. You know, I was talking to somebody. Brother James, come on. I was talking to somebody. I don't remember who it was. Or whoever needs to sing. I don't know. Whoever feels led to come up here. I was talking to somebody a couple of days ago. About how I'm not anything without him. I had a hanky. There it is. I was talking to somebody, Brother Victor, about how God is my entire reason for being. I don't have anything else to live for. I don't have my kids and my wife, which I would do, and I would take a bullet for any of them. I would take a bullet for any of my family. In all reality, I'd probably take a bullet for any of you guys in here. I would. If it was between you and me, I'd go ahead and I'd bite that bullet because I love you. But I'll tell you this much. God loved you and I so much that he transcended time. He made everything in the way that he did. He put it in the volume of a book so that somebody, through the power of his might, would tell you about him. What kind of person does that? Somebody who loves a whole lot. You're here, I think it's like the 13th or 14th of July. Today could be your day. Today could be the day that you go from death unto life. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, how do you know you pass from death unto life? You love the brethren. Amen. That doesn't just mean these people in here. Brother Victor, I love people who have called me curse words. I love people who have said mean things to me. I love people who have been nice to me. I love everybody. Why? I can't help it. Brother Clarence, that doesn't mean that we're not going to have crappy days. You can ask my wife. There's days that I woke up on the wrong side of the bed, just hateful as all get out. But when God softens up that, when God touches that fleshy heart. See, you can't do nothing with stone, Brother Victor. Stone's just stone. It stays the way it is. But you touch something that's flesh, it begins to move. Flesh moves. When you touch that fleshy heart, when he gets a hold of that fleshy heart, he can mold it, and he can turn it, and he can move it, and he can make it warm again. That's how I know I ain't dead, Brother Kevin. God touches my heart every once in a while. And he reminds me of who I am. But more importantly, Brother Clarence, he reminds me of who I used to be and what he brought me from. Why did he do that? Because of love. I don't know what you need today. Nobody here has to know. God already knows. That's the one you got to worry about. I'll say it like this. If there's anybody you need to be concerned about what they think of you,
it's God. My opinion don't matter. My friendship, you know, I want to be your friend. I love being friends with people. But my friendship's not going to get you to heaven. Being a buddy of mine's not going to get you there. Because I don't even know where it is. It's only by the grace of God that I'm going to get there myself. You can have your own spot, friend. John talked in the book of Revelations. As we stand, please. John talked in the book of Revelation. He said that he looked and that he saw a number that no man could number. Amen. You notice that he said no man?
Right.
That means you and me, Brother Clarence, or Kevin, or Chester, or my brother Stephen, or Victor, or David. You and me, we could look and just see a sea of people. But God goes farther than that. He knows each individual person.
Yeah.
He knows when he met them.
Amen.
He knows when they came home.
Yeah.
And he knows the last day, Brother Victor, that he'll bring that number together and we'll all go home.
Right. Yeah.
That's how powerful our God is, church. And friend, that's how powerful the God is that could send you to outer darkness. He don't want to, but if you don't accept him, he has to. He's a just God. He's not partial to any person. Grace was extended to all. And it's given to all. But not all are going to accept it. Don't be part of that statistic, friend. Be part of the number that... And it doesn't matter if I could number it or not. I'm just glad I'm going to be part of it. You could be part of that number. You could have your spot in that sea of people that we talked about just now. I'm glad I got mine. They're going to sing. I'm going to step out of the way. I feel like I've done what I needed to. Think about it, friend, as they begin to sing. If God tugs on your heart,
hold on,
don't doubt.
The perilous deep.
You know, I'll say it like this.
Where danger silently
you feel like this weird tug on you.
And storm so violently sweep. You are drifting too far from the shore.
You don't have to understand. You just gotta trust me. That's the thing about
drifting
trust.
Drifting too far from the shore.
It takes you trusting the other person to believe that they're gonna come through.
You are drifting too far from the shore.
God's already done his part. You just gotta
come to Jesus today. Let him show you the way. You are drifting too far from the shore.
On that last day,
today,
the
tempest rolls high.
I cannot.
you could be here and you would hear about his love. I hope I've done my part, but then I'm sorry. But I want to leave you with this. If there's anything I can speak from experience, Brother Clarence, is that God don't leave you alone.
Amen. Yeah. Right.
You know how many nights I stayed awake, Brother Victor? Countless nights. He wouldn't leave me. I couldn't get him off my mind.
Yeah.
I couldn't shake him.
Amen.
I had enough. I couldn't handle it anymore. And the moment that I gave him my whole heart, the moment that I stepped out, I don't even really know if I took a big step or a little step, or maybe if I even stepped out into the pew. I know I got up there somehow. I don't know how. But when I took the step with my heart, when you believe him with your heart,
yeah.
It's like Peter, when Peter started to sing. Peter reached out for help,
yeah.
And there it was.
Amen.
Didn't say it took him days. Didn't say it took him minutes. Didn't say Peter started to drink water. Right there, he was. And he rescued him. He'll do the same for you, friend.
That's right.
He loves you today. I don't know what else to do. But I'll say this. I'm going to pray that God doesn't leave your side. Some people say, Brother Victor, that's mean. That's harsh. That's hateful. It's not hateful. That's what it took for me.
Amen.
God's pretty good at his job. So I'm sure it'll work for you too.
Amen.
I love you. I appreciate you. Appreciate the message.
Appreciate the whole day. And we thank God for it. Now, anyone have a testimony, anything on your heart?